Lives of the companions of the Allah Lives of the companions of the Allah
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program, we talk about life and legacy of Sahaba-i-Kiram, companions of the Prophet alayhi ridwan. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala and be with us from start to end, inshallah, immense amount of knowledge regarding this great personality, Sahabi Rasul, companion of the Prophet radiyallahu ta'ala. We will be, inshallah, learning today. But before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir of Ahl al-Sunnah Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri. Dama Barakatuhu al-Aliya is giving us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As we're presenting this program, we make this intention, we'll do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're watching, you can make this intention. You will watch from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. Insha'Allah. Today joins me Muballigh Dawat Islami Muhammad Basim Abbas Attari. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. Basim Abbas, how are you?
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hadis and how are you?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Now, moving further towards our topic today, Alhamdulillah, we will be talking about Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. We covered a very short and brief introduction and few beautiful qualities and from the life of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala in the previous episode, and today inshallah we'll be continuing from where we left. What would you like to share with viewers of Madani Channel today with regards to life and legacy of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We did cover certain aspects of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu in our last week's episode. I would like to continue again, the virtues and excellences of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu from the perspective of what the other legendary scholars of Islam, our pious predecessors, they said about Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and how they praised Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And from this, we can also see that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is that legendary personality, that elite companion of the Prophet, who's been praised, who's been extolled by many noble elders of ours, those who are our leaders. You can say those who are our guides, they themselves, what did they say in regards to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? Just to get an idea of the grandeur, the majesty, the eminence that this great companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he holds. Now, when we talk about those personalities, subhanAllah, who can be better than the Tabi'een? Those who acquired knowledge from the Sahaba, those who beheld the Sahaba in the state of Iman and also passed away in the state of Iman, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. Let's go in the court of the Tabi'een and see what they said about Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Now, the most superior of the Tabi'een, the ulama they mention is Sayyidina Uwais Qarni radiallahu anhu. And then ulama, they've categorized different Tabi'een that from which perspective they're the most superior. Uwais Qarni radiallahu anhu, ulama said that due to worship and taqwa, he's deemed as the most superior. Mm-hmm. But then there's another category where the likes of Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu, another Tabi'een, noble elder, who's known as the best of Tabi'een from the perspective of having knowledge.
Right.
So from the perspective of ilm, from the perspective of knowledge, ulama, they've categorized him right at the top amongst the Tabi'een. So we'll go in the quote of Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu, that what did he say regarding Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? Another great Imam, Imam Zuhri rahimahullah, to him he's advising. So Sayyid bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu, he's advising Imam Zuhri rahimahullah. And what advice does he give him? He mentions the virtues of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. What does he say? He says, "Oh Zuhri, listen. He who dies in the love of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, testifies to the Ashra Mubashara to be the dweller of paradise and supplicates for mercy to befall, mercy to downpour upon Amir Muawiyah. Then it is upon the mercy of Allah to not be hard in taking his account. So this is how Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu is praising Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. This is just at one occasion he mentioned. Along with Khulafa Rashideen, along with the one who testifies to the Ashra Mubashara for them to be the dwellers of paradise, alongside these honorable personalities, he mentions that the one who also testifies this, that may mercy befall downpour upon Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, then it is upon the mercy of Allah that for him not to be hard upon him and he takes his account. Then the likes of Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah, another great personality, another legendary personality, subhanAllah. He was asked a question that is Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu superior or Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu superior? Now Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, he is also a tabi'i. He is also a great, great legendary figure in the history of Islam. So question is being asked to who? Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu. That Umar bin Abdul Aziz is superior or Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Now look at the response and look at the comparison again. He says that the dust that entered the nose of Amir Muawiyah, even that dust is superior to Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Another narration also mentions the horse of Amir Muawiyah, the dust that entered the nose of the horse of Amir Muawiyah. But in this narration, the dust that entered the nose of Amir Muawiyah, even that dust is superior to Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. These are just two narrations which one way are brought forward from our elite personalities, that what they stated regarding Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And what was the reason? Now Allama Ibn Hajar Haytami rahimahullah, he remarks that the privilege of the companionship of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had, Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu said, this narration which I just mentioned, because of that very honor, the honor of sahabiyat, the honor of companionship that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had. And then when we talk about the honor, the eminence of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, we see the great elites of this ummah who have written books and books in the honor and praise of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Student of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, many other ulama, they have written many books on the virtues of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. We have the likes of Ibn Abi Dunya rahimahullah, who's written an entire book with the name of Hilm Muawiyah. This is on the praise of the forbearance of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Then the revivalist of Islam, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, he's authored 5 monographs just on the praise of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And many other ulama, many other muhaddithin, they've written about the eminence of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And the main reason is because of the honor of being the companion of the Prophet alayhi salam he had. That is the fundamental reason behind all this eminence and virtue that he possesses.
Absolutely. You see, Allah's when the viewers of mention, those are watching, one fact we should remember, this is something which is the consensus of the ulama, the scholars of Islam, that all the Qutub, all Abdal, all awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of any like the state status which we normally behold, different categories, different awliya kiram, they've got the status. And ghawf, they cannot become, if collectively all of their status comes together, that status cannot become equal to the status of a normal Sahabi Rasul. There's nothing like Sahabi Rasul.
Amir al-Sunnat mentioned in one of the Madri Muzakras on the same point, he was explaining who a companion is. We've covered this, who a companion is. Now, for example, there's one companion who beheld or attained the company of the Prophet for only one moment, right?
No chance of any song, salah.
Just for one moment, he attains the company of the Prophet in the state of Iman and instantly passes away. He became a Sahabi and he didn't get a chance to offer salah or sujood or other acts of worship, and he passes away as a Sahabi. Now just for this duration of moment of time that he became a Sahabi, he passes away. Now this companion is on one side, and then the example you're giving, all the Abdal and Ghaus and Kutub and all the Awliya from the time of the Tabi'een all the way till the Day of Judgment collectively together, you add all their most superior forms of acts of worship together, all of them together cannot equate to a smallest of a virtue or a good deed of that very companion which we just mentioned now.
And the reason is, again, the Niswat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason why they acquired this status of, because they have got the company of Rasul alayhi wa sallam, Sohbat of Rasul alayhi wa sallam, they beheld Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's Habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this connection, this Niswat, that makes them superior in terms of fadl, in terms of taqwa, in terms of the status before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And then we have certain companions, subhanAllah. For them, just to be companion is enough for us.
Yes.
But then you won't find many books written for certain companions. You won't find, for example, not very familiar Sahabi, for example, you take their name out and you wouldn't find much about their seerah. But imagine one companion regarding whom even the likes of the students of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has written books. Many other muhaddithin, many other great elite scholars of this ummah, they've written books and books and books in the praise of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh, then of course there would be something special about this great companion.
You're talking about the aqwal of tabi'in or the later scholars, but Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is praised. See, they've been praised in Quran, Sahaba ikram, Allahu Akbar. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Ghaib Noor Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, now one person will come towards you,
right?
Who is the dweller of paradise, person of Jannah, subhanAllah. And at that time, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala entered. And then next day, Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now one person from Jannah will come to you. Again, that day, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, he presented himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, third day, Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it again. Now, a person from Jannah, the dweller of Jannah will come to you, subhanAllah. Third day, again, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Now, Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given the knowledge of ghaib. Who knows the knowledge of unseen, alhamdulillah. He is giving the glad tidings that this sahabi of mine is from Jannah. Subhan har sahabi nabi jannati jannati. And as you said that the way the people, they talked highly about these personalities. But look at the praise of Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one of the riwayat, narrations, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, Muawiyah, I'm from you and you are from me. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held two fingers together and then said, after joining the two fingers together, that on the door of Jannah, you will be with me like this. Katibay wahi hai. اذن سے سرکار کے اور قطعی جنتی بھی ہیں بفرمان رسول. This is the ذات of سیدنا امیر معاویہ رضی اللہ تعالی. So respective views of Madani Channel, as we said that a صحابی رسول who just had a moment in the court of رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, we cannot imagine the status he possesses. Now then imagine those, they were closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, in Sahaba Ikram, you've got different categories. Those they embraced Islam in Makkatul Mukarrama, right? Before the Hijrah, and then those they accepted Islam after, and then different categories after Fatih Makkah. So different categories of Sahaba Ikram are there. Those they participated in Badr, and they participated in Uhud. So different categories. So what can you talk about Sahaba Ikram's fadl? What you can talk about the excellence they hold, subhanAllah. And this program is to talk about them. This program is to talk about their excellence. This program is to talk about their fada'il and excellences, which have been mentioned in Quran, which have been mentioned in Ahadith, which have been mentioned in Aqwal. And today we're talking about Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Now it's the time to include the segment in our program, and that is message from a scholar. Let's find out what message is there for you, for me, for all of us. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم.
منصور بن عمار رحمة الله تعالى عليه says, when Islamic brother who was close to me, he used to respect me a lot, and he was very pious in my perception, as he used to offer the tahajjud, and he would also cry in the fear of Allah. Once I was informed by someone that brother was ill. I went to him
I saw that he had gone weak and that he was lying down in his house. His color had gone dark and eye color had turned blue. I said, "Brother, read La ilaha illallah in abundance." He opened his eyes and looked at me uncomfortably and fainted again. I again said to him, "Read La ilaha illallah." He opened his eyes, looked at me, and then closed his eyes again. I said to him harshly, "Read La ilaha illallah, recite kalima, or I will not give you bath. I will neither shroud you nor offer your funeral salah." I said so because he was very close to me. Do you know what that person said? Listen carefully. He said there was a hurdle between him and shahada. I said, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." What happened to your salah? What about those fasts? Those prayers at night, the tahajjud? He said, "Oh Mansoor, I used to do all these acts, but I wouldn't do them for the pleasure of Allah. I would do them to show off people, so that people call me muttaqi, pious. And I used to do all this for people and not for the sake of Allah. When I would be alone, I would shut the door and I would commit all sorts of sins. When alone, I would engage in fornication and drink alcohol. Once when I committed so many sins, I fell ill to the extent that I lost hope of life. I opened Quran and made dua, "Oh Allah, forgive me." I cried a lot and kept begging for forgiveness. Allah accepted my repentance and I got better. I started sinning again. I started obeying shaitan. I fell ill again. Doctor said I wouldn't survive. I took Quran again. I kept crying and begging in the court of Allah for forgiveness. My kind Rabb again forgave me and granted cure. But oh Mansoor, I did not change. When I would get cure, I would start sinning. And when I would get ill, I would repent. Third time, I engaged in sins again. I committed many sins. And now when I got ill and opened to read Quran to make repentance, I couldn't recite one word of it. It looked as if my tongue was locked. Couldn't read. I could not read a word of Quran. I said, "Oh Allah, I know you are very much displeased with me, but please forgive me." He said, "Oh Mansoor, I heard a voice from unseen. When you get ill, you repent. And when you get well, you start sinning. When you get inflicted in pain, you start remembering Allah. And when Allah grants you cure, you engage in sins again. Don't you have fear of death? You have intellect, you are wise, but yet you commit sins. Many times you promised to Allah, but then you broke your promise." Sheikh Mansoor says he would keep on telling his story and keep on crying. And then I left him alone and came out. What good can come to this person? As soon as I came out of his room, that person died without reciting Shahada. Now tell me the truth, what is our condition when we get inflicted in any problem? Some people are seen in masajid. If you ask them what happened, they would reply, "I've lost job, I'm under debt. My wife is ill, my father is in hospital." This reminded them Allah and masjid. As soon as that problem got solved, that calamity got removed, the person is also not seen in masjid anymore. Is this what we worship Allah? Should we only remember Allah in problems? But if any problem or calamity befalls, we start remembering Allah, and when He gives us ease, we forget and start disobeying? But dear brothers, keep remembering Allah in happiness as well as in the moments of grief. Yes, as well as in the moments of grief, we can only find refuge in the compassionate court of Allah. And if He becomes displeased, we'll be destroyed. But Islam says, let's repent. Let's truly repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Rahman, He's Rahim. He'll forgive all sins. If you truly repent with this promise that you won't do those sins again.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we're talking about Sayyidina Ali Muawiyah, radiallahu ta'ala, and Katib Wahi. Ji, Masih Abbas, what would you like to share?
We're talking about Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu anhum, and another distinguishing feature of Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu anhum, is his love for the Prophet, alayhi salam. That was matchless. Now, again, we covered this in our various episodes that your excellence and the rank you possess in the court of Allah Almighty, this is dependent upon how much you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The higher rank you have in the court of Allah, the higher love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam you would have. Now, Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله عنه is that personality who not only loved the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, but even every that thing which belonged to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. This shows that what was the state of his love for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, subhanAllah. Now, Sayyidina Ka'b bin Zuhair رضي الله عنه, he once wrote some poetry in the praise of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he became very happy, and as a present, he gifted him his best shawl.
So he wrote a na'at of Mustafa.
He wrote a na'at of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام became very happy and gave him his best shawl as a gift. Now, after the passing of Sayyidina Ka'b bin Zuhair رضي الله عنه, Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله عنه, he purchased that very shawl, the honorable blessed shawl, from the son of Ka'b bin Zuhair رضي الله عنه for 20,000 dirhams.
Allah.
And this is not a small price. For 20,000 dirhams, Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله عنه, he purchased it from the son of Ka'b bin Zuhair رضي الله عنه as a sacred relic. And even after Sayyidina Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله عنه, all the other khulafa, they would wrap around the same blessed shawl to lead the Eid prayers. And they would consider it to be a sacred relic. And there's another narration where it is stated that Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله عنه, he had the blessed gown of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He had the blessed turban, the lower garment of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, one shawl, and some blessed hair of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now, as we're talking about this, just look at the love that Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله عنه had for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. This love is matchless, unique, amazing. When someone loves someone, you know, they would want to be in their company, and we hardly see anyone going to the extent where they even go after the belongings of the other person. But the honorable companions, they loved the Prophet ﷺ to such an extent that the things that were used by the Prophet ﷺ, the companions even held them to be very, very sacred. Now, these things which you just mentioned, Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله عنه, he had those of the Prophet ﷺ, and he left a will that after his passing, he should be shrouded in that very garment of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, which he had. And he also had the blessed nails of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that he would clip. The blessed nails of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and the blessed hair of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he left this will that placed them in my mouth and in my nose and spread them across my chest and then hand me over to Arham al-Rahim. Look at the belief, the aqidah of the companions alayhi maridwan. To what extent they are going to love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not command them to love him in this way. Where did they learn these etiquettes and manners of love from? This is something which they understood better than us. So this is the love that Amir Mu'awiyah radiallahu anhu had towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There are many other accounts which show us that how devotionally he was in love with the Prophet and what legacy is left for us, and how should we also hold these sacred relics on honorable for ourselves.
MashaAllah. So you must be, when you're talking about Sayyidina Amir Mu'awiyah radiallahu ta'ala, there is a beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam about his excellence, and that is also crystal clear from this. And this is one of the most authentic hadiths, a book called Tirmidhi Sharif, this is mentioned there. As Abdul Rahman رضي الله تعالى عنه, he says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم made dua for Sayyidina Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله تعالى عنه in these words: اللهم اجعله هاديا مهديا واهدي به. So this is the dua Rasulullah made for Sayyidina Amir Mu'awiyah رضي الله تعالى عنه. Allah make Mu'awiyah Hadi, meaning the one who is a guide, who gives hidayah to others. Not only this, also hidayah yafta, the one who is guided himself, Allahu Akbar. And then from through him, right, guide other people also. This is the dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam made for Sayyidina Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu. Hadi ubadi bhi aur hain zariya rushtga, unke dushman ki koi neki nahi hargiz. Now, one important fact what we should know, that Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam is mustajab al-da'wah. The dua of Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam was accepted, it is accepted. Now, the shan of Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, that his wish and his resolve, khuda ki raza chahte hain du'alam, khuda chahta hai raza hai Muhammad. Now this is the ayah of Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. From this very ayat of Quran, when the direction of Qibla was changed upon the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is also crystal clear that 180 degree turn was taken by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Salah, and then the Qibla was changed. And Sahaba Ikram, within the Salah, they just moved with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua and the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is answered the way even in Salah, subhanAllah, the wahi came and then the Qibla was changed. And then if Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa makes dua, Allahu Akbar, Suraj ulte paon palte chaand ishaare se ho chaand, Allahu Akbar. So the sun can rise from the west, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gesture can break the moon into two pieces. Right? It's split apart. So this is the dua of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And ijabat ne jhukkar gale se lagaya bari naaz se jab duae Muhammad, ijabat ka sehra, inayat ka joda, dulhan ban ke nikli duae Muhammad. So then if Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose wish and duas are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he is making dua for Sayyidina Ali al-Mu'awiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an, ya Allah, make him the one who guides and the one who is guided himself, and through him guide other people. When this dua was accepted, subhanallah, now can you imagine that what would be the maqam and status of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Now ulama, they say, there are three kinds of people, right? And these categories the ulama, they have made that there are certain people who are upon hidayah, right? They are upon the truth and haq and on hidayah, but they do not guide other people,
right?
For the hidayat, they do not guide other people.
They are guided, but they are not guided.
They are not guides, right? And there are many pious people, right? They are there in the world, they're living in seclusion, they're doing ibadah, they're doing worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but maybe they would be in the caves, or maybe in seclusion somewhere, they would be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are on hidayat, but they do not guide others. And there are certain people, they give dawah, they guide others, they invite people towards righteousness, but unfortunately they themselves are not on hidayat.
Right.
They are not guided by themselves. Right? There are people that they do sins, but yet they are guiding other people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not include us amongst those. And then the third type of people are those that they are on hidayah and they give hidayah to others also. Right? They are on guided, they are rightly guided, and they also guide other people. Subhanallah. And this is what was the dua made for Sayyidina Abi Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was a nor of unseen, and he knew that this person has got that capability. So that is why this dua was made for, these specific words were made, this dua for Sayyidina Abi Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and Allahu Akbar. And this is the shan and martaba and maqam and status of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. And respect you, of Madinah Sharif, we love all Sahaba Ikram. Har Sahabi Nabi Jannati Jannati. We will include one segment in our program now, inshallah. We'll come back, we'll continue from there. And the segment is Words of Wisdom. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions,
respected viewers of Madani Sharif, today the words of wisdom are the saying of Huzur Ghawfi Park, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He, Ali Rahma, had said, "Oh, the bondman of Allah Azza wa Jal, abandon your hopes, get rid of your greed, offer every salah in a way as if it is your last salah."
Allah.
What a great piece of advice from Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Ghawful A'wam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we abandon long hopes, we get rid of greed, and we offer salah considering that it may be the last one we are praying. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil. Ameen. Wasi Baba Azmai. Talking about the life and legacy left behind by Sayyidina Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu ta'ala for the believers to follow. What feature would you like to share with us of Faraj?
Another thing for us believers, Rizwan Bey, is to have immense love for the fourth caliph of Islam, the Lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramullahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And now, the love that Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu had for Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramullahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that was also matchless. He radiyallahu anhu would praise immensely Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu. At many occasions, he radiyallahu anhu would talk really high of Mullah Mushkiku Shah Ali al-Murtaza, karramullahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And again, shows us that this is something that is very, very important for us as well, as Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu was also made that yardstick for seeing who is a believer and who is not. Now, Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, once in his quote, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu, karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, has mentioned. So now he said that by Allah, whenever Ali al-Murtaza, karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, would talk, then in his voice there would be a roar like a lion. When he would appear, he would be shining like a moon. And when he would grant like a torrential rain. And then some of the attendees, they asked him that, are you superior or is Ali al-Murtaza superior, radiyallahu anhu. Now he replies that a few nuqush, a few marks of Ali, karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, even that is superior than Ali Abu Sufyan, than the household of Abu Sufyan. Then he says that the person who reads poetry, who says couplets in the praise of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, in exchange of every couplet, I will give him 1,000 dinar. Wow. Now, the attendees, they mentioned some couplets in the praise of Mullah Mushkil Kushah Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And Sayyidina Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, listening to those couplets, he would say, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that the eminence of Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem that you've mentioned, his eminence and grandeur is even superior than that. This is what he would reply to every couplet that would be mentioned in the praise of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Then Rizwan Bhai, again, the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, during his caliphate, this is again to show the trust factor and the respect element that Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu had for Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. So it is a time of the caliphate of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and one person, he divorced his wife in certain words. And now this matter became very famous.
Right.
And that matter came in the court of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And after deeply reflecting upon the matter, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu, he gives the verdict of divorce, that the divorce has taken place. Now, after some time passed by, the caliphate of Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu comes. And the same person, he goes in the court of Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, and he says that Abu Turab, i.e. Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that he gave a verdict of separation between me and my wife. Now saying this, he mentioned all his circumstances to Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, and listening to everything, Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, he said, we cannot ignore the verdict given by our qazi, i.e. Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, just because of you.
Allah.
So the decision that he has given, we can't overturn that I cannot overrule that just because of what you are telling me. So this shows again, Rizwan Bhai, the respect and love, the mutual respect they had between them was amazing. And there were many occasions, Rizwan Bhai, where Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, he referred to Sayyidina Mullah Mushkil Kushah karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, despite being a faqih himself.
Wow.
Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, he himself was a jurist. He himself was faqih. And despite this, he would ask in the court of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem for issues to be resolved. Like once an issue came in the court of Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu, and Amir Mu'awiyah radiyallahu anhu wrote to Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu to present that issue in the court of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem and seek verdict from him. He himself is faqih, he himself is jurist, People are coming to him for the solution. But what does he do? The problem comes. He sends it to Mawla Mushkil Kusha Karram Allah Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. Subhanallah. Consider yourself to be inferior than the other person, or you need to have that respect element for the other person to do this. You yourself are faqih, you yourself are on the rank, on the station of giving verdicts, of resolving problems of other people. That's why people are coming to you. So the issue comes to you, and Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh sends it in the court of Ali al-Murtaza karram Allahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, and then the response comes, and he acts in accordance to whatever response Ali al-Murtaza karram Allahu ta'ala wajhul kareem gives. So this is great legacy of love and mutual respect that subhanallah, the fourth caliph of Islam, Ali al-Murtaza karram Allahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, and the scribe of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh, they both had between them.
Speaking of friendship, today we're talking about Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anh. You heard about the element of respect Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and held for Ahlul Bayt. Now inshallah we will include one of the segments in our program, and that is, did you know? Let's find out, did you or not? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiallahu anhum.
Jee, Wasim Abbas Bayt.
Jee.
Did you know? Question number one, what is meant by lie?
Allahu Akbar. To say something against the fact is called a lie.
Yeah.
Question for you, who first told a lie?
Shaitan told a lie. First, he made Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam eat a piece of wheat by telling a lie.
Allah.
Now, question for you, is it a sin to write a lie like telling a lie?
Yes, to write a lie is also a sin. Question for you, Zonbai. How is it to celebrate April Fool's Day? Allah Allah.
Is a sin to celebrate April Fool's Day, and it is practice of the fool. Very interesting writing there. On the 1st of the April, people joke with each other by telling lies or writing untrue news. This is impermissible and a sin. Therefore, one should avoid this impermissible and bad practice. What is the ruling for those children who often swear an oath?
It is said that to swear an oath frequently is a bad habit and is a sign of being a liar. How is it to swear a false oath, is one way?
Yeah. To swear a false oath is impermissible and a sin and a shaitanic act. We should avoid it. Views of Madani Shem, we learned who was the first liar, Shaitan, Iblis, Lain. We should avoid. This is a major sin to lie. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen bijahin Nabi Lameen. Today we are talking about Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We are talking about the life and legacy, and we are trying to figure out what we can learn from the seerah of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Wasim Abbasri, when we talk about the awsaf of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, there is a long hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the specific awsaf, the features of Sayyidina, the qualities of Sahaba al-Kiram. Now in that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two specific qualities of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan ahlamu ummati wa ajwaduha. Meaning, Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan is the most, the one who is the most possessor of hilm. Forbearance, the one who possesses the most forbearance, and he is immense sakhi, meaning generous, great, generous, subhanallah. So these two features which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in specific mentioned about Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, the feature of his forbearance, his hilm, right? The nature of forgiving and ignoring someone's faults, and having that the tolerance, the level of tolerance and hilm and bardasht, This was, subhanAllah, a specific feature which was even praised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentioned. And not only this, generosity. Generosity is something which beautifies someone's personality, that adds it adds beauty to one's personality. If somebody is sakhi, it has been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah, sakhi is close to Allah, sakhi is close to Jannah, and sakhi is far from Jahannam. Now, stingy is far from Allah, far from people, and close to Jahannam. Now, this we come to know that if a person who is sakhi, who is jawwab, the one who has got this feature of jood and sakha, subhanAllah, who gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who helps the needy, who gives people, subhanAllah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he holds a great excellence before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only his status is high in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even people love that person who does sahabat, who is generous, who helps others. And again, those people who are stingy, who are miser, and they do not spend where it should be spent. So what actually happens, people also go far from them. And they don't like such people anyways. So this is what we understand, that subhanAllah, these beautiful features which every personality should possess, the level of tolerance today, what is the condition, we know that. And the level of generosity also, nowadays, slowly and gradually, it is decreasing. But rather, there are people, alhamdulillah, who have been blessed, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, and they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they help others. So this is what we can take from the seerah of Sayyidina Ali Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and we can also adopt khilm, we can also adopt forbearance within our personality, we can also adopt Sahawat, Saha, the generosity within our personality. Once you do this, then you will understand. Many problems will be resolved, many issues will be resolved, many domestic problems, issues will be resolved when you will have the forbearance, when you will have level of tolerance within your personality. So inshaAllah, you will forgive others. That you will overlook, you will just ignore if someone's mistake, and then you will not react the way you might be doing it before when you did not have that forbearance element of khilm. And again, when you will have the generosity within your personality, you will be loved within your family, within your society, and inshallah then you can prosper as a good person, as a good Muslim also.
Definitely.
Anything you would like to share with regards to Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and different features in Asa?
SubhanAllah, his a precaution when it came to mentioning the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that was also of immense level. Once Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu stated that mention only those hadith which were common or which were present during the time of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, because Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh was most Allah-fearing amongst the people. Then Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh, he mentioned this hadith, that the one with whom Allah intends to do good with, Allah grants him the understanding of religion. This is the hadith that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh stated. But this shows us, again, Rizwan, that how cautious he was when it came to mentioning the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's educating other people that mention only those ahadith that were common during the time of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anh. Again, it also shows us the grandeur and eminence of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anh as well. As Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh, he set a benchmark, in other words, for the authenticity of hadith, that if this hadith was during the time of Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, then this is fine. So this is that caution that he showed towards the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in that era. The era which is of the Sahaba, in that era he's showing that much caution. So what do we learn from this? That, you know, the mindset that Amir Ahle Sunnah has given us, that whenever it comes, we should mention only that which we read from authentic Sunni scholars' books.
Asha.
We should read and we should convey that ahead, alhamdulillah.
Right.
And this mindset, alhamdulillah, we see coming from the Sahaba, the likes of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and other Sahaba, where we take this lesson from, which we should also adopt, which is very, very important for us.
Absolutely right. Wasim Basmi, nowadays, but actually seeing that we just listen anyone we want.
Mm-hmm.
Any clip comes to us, we start listening. See, there are people they are talking about, they don't know nothing about Islam, about their deen. They learn a few books and they start, pretending mm-hmm. to be scholars. And we start hearing them, we start listening them. At this moment in time, we do not realize that who we are listening. Is that an authentic person? Right? Maybe worldly few books he could have read, or a few books, Islamic books he could have read, and he's pretending himself to be a scholar. So it's very, very important. When we go out to buy our clothes, right, we go to 3-4 shops, we mm-hmm. find the best fabric and best clothing for us. And then we go to buy even shoes, we go to different shops and we buy the comfortable one, good ones. In terms of dunya, we make sure that whatever we are buying is something good for us. And if we even we go and to for the admission of our child, we go and see that which school is good one, right? That because this child will be studying, who would be his teacher?
What is the rating qualified,
and what is the rating of the school? We make sure. This is our mindset in terms of dunya. But unfortunately, when it comes to seek knowledge, not even think about who we are approaching, who are we learning from, who is that person? Is he a qualified person? Does he know about Islam? What is his aqidah? Apparently, what he's talking may look very nice and good. See, his action, the way he's delivering, that may look good to us and we would be fascinated to listen. But what will happen? What you are, the first or second, 2-3 clips or the few books you're reading of him, right, could be fine. But what will happen later on, he will start talking about the corrupted beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And that would take us to the ditches of misguidance and ignorance. And this is very important, what has been mentioned. This is what we learn from Sahaba Ikram's seerah. And the source of information, that should be authentic. The people who are giving that information, they should be authentic. And the very easy solution is watch Madani Channel, alhamdulillah. Whatever bayanat, what we are doing right now, alhamdulillah, they have been pre-checked. They have been written by Muftiyani Kiram. They have been written by Islamic scholars. A lot of research has been put into this place. We've got a department, alhamdulillah, Al-Madinatul Ilmiyah, right? And they are working on it. Islamic Research Center, where ulama, where Muftiyani Kiram, they're sitting, right? They are working hard to produce this material for you. Alhamdulillah, anything which is mentioned, right now we are doing this program, there is a person who is sitting, who is an Islamic scholar, who is listening and watching us. If we make mistake, he will guide us, he will tell us, he will correct us. This is the precaution Dawat-e-Islami is taking. These are the measures Madani Channel takes. This is the reason why each and every information which reaches to you is an authentic information, alhamdulillah. So I would also urge you, only watch Sunni, Ahli Haqq, Ulama, scholars alone, and the best source of learning Islam is Madani Channel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to understand the message we are giving from this platform. Ameen, Bijahim, Nabil Ameen. Now it's the time to include one segment, and that is daily hadith. Let's include that. We come back, we continue. Sallu ala al-hadith sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiallahu anhum.
We all want a healthy life, long life. We all want to be free from arrogance and pride. And we all want to avert an evil death, a bad death. We want husnul khatima, a good ending. How do we attain this though? Sayyidina Amr bin Auf radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the charity of a Muslim causes his lifespan to increase, averts an evil death, and Allah Almighty eliminates arrogance and pride because of this. Because of a person giving charity, a believer giving charity. So give charity and look at the benefits you will attain from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiallahu
anhum. We are talking about Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and before going towards the segments, we were learning about Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and Hilm, and we also talked about his Sakha. Now, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam prays that he possessed forbearance. Now, it has been mentioned that the level of forbearance, Allahu Akbar, this is such a beautiful quality. Allama ibn Hajar Haytami rahmatullahi ta'ala says that the person who has got a minute level of takabbur, arrogance in his heart, he can never be a possessor of hilm, a possessor of forbearance. Right? Now, this is what he said. And the one, subhanAllah, who can save himself from the destruction of anger, right? That person can save himself from all batini diseases, the internal diseases. He can get rid of them because of, this is the source of those destructions of the heart one can possess.
Right.
Allahu Akbar. And then if he saves himself from all internal diseases, so what will happen? He will be able to go and get the good and khair. And further, this was the hilm of Sayyidina Mu'awiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Okay, the person, it means if he possessed the forbearance, he did not have no takabbur in his heart. This is also, we understand, no arrogance. Allahu Akbar. And further, the level of sakha, the level of generosity, when we talk about Ibn Ghurayda radiallahu ta'ala, and says once Imam Hasan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala, and he came in the court of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and said to Sayyidina Imam Hasan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala, that today I will gift you something that no one would have gifted.
Right.
Right? Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and presented 400,000 dirhams.
Allah.
400,000 dirhams. Allahu Akbar. So this is the level of respect for Ahlul Bayt, at the same time his level of generosity. We come to know. And this is what we need to learn from Sahaba Ikram's life, like Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Time is short. At the end, any good message you would like to share?
You see, this man, these elite personalities, every perspective of their life leaves many lessons for us. We've been talking about many features of theirs, but Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, such a personality that if we read about the time of his passing away, even that leaves many lessons for us. The time when Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was passing away, at that very time he was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhan.
He was doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was beseeching, imploring in the court of Allah Almighty. He was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so much to just go through about the time of his passing and how he was at that very moment of time in the court of Allah Almighty. We have soul in our bodies, what is our state? But yet Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, even during that, the most testing of the times, he still remembers his creator, Lord Almighty. And now, during his last illness, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he was passing away, he said that I used to make the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam perform wudu. Now one day the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to me that shall I not give you my qameez, the upper garment, my shirt? And he says that I said that may my parents be sacrificed for you, why not? Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made me wear his qameez, his upper garment. So I preserved it. And he said that then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he clipped his breast nails and I kept them in a small bottle. So he says that when I pass away, then attach that very shirt, that very upper garment of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with my body, and those nails, place them in my eyes. It is possible that due to these sacred relics, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers mercy upon me. And in the hadith of Bukhari, these words we find that I was with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at Mount Safa, and after performing Umrah, I asked for the shaver and I shaved the blessed hair of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and when I pass away, then place those hair in my mouth and in my nose. In the hadith of Bukhari, we find these words.
Wow.
You know, so Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, in one narration we find, he radiallahu anhu is still remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another narration we find that he radiallahu anhu is also remembering the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beautiful, you know, lesson of Tawheed and Risalah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi wasallam, he gave us. And Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he passed away on Thursday in Rajab al-Murajjab in 20 Hijri, some opinions suggest 21 Hijri, in Sham, in Damascus, in Sham. And at that time, his age was 78. There are other narrations as well, we suggest 73, 75, 75, and 85 as well, but one opinion suggests 78. So this is very briefly, we try to cover. We can't do justice, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his countless mercies and blessings upon Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and forgive us all without accountability for his sake.
JazakAllah khairan. Thank you so much, Wasim bhai, for your attendance, presence, and the sharing this knowledge. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, JazakAllah khairan for watching. That's all for today. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel, with another beautiful personality from Sahaba Ikram Ali Ridwan. Keep watching Madani Channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Eyes of the companions.